You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Our Set Apart to Serve conversation today takes us to Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, where we'll chat with two theology professors.
Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University, Wisconsin. You can learn more about Concordia University, Wisconsin at cuw.edu.
Live uncommon. Joining us today, the Reverend Dr. Gifford Grubing. He's the David P. Scare Professor of Biblical and Systematic Theology, Assistant Provost, and Director of the DMIN Program at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Grubing, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Also joining us today, the Reverend Dr. Jeffrey Boyle. He's Assistant Professor of Pastoral Ministry and Missions, as well as Director of Field Education, and he's the Director of the SMP Program at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne. Dr. Boyle, welcome to the Coffee Hour.
Thank you. It's a joy to be with you.
So let's talk about being a professor at Concordia Theological Seminary in just a moment. Before that, let's talk about all the other things you get to do. We're going to talk about being a professor, but let's talk about the many other vocations you have that are important to you as well, and other ways that you serve the church beyond being a professor at Concordia Theological Seminary. What would you like to share with us today, Dr. Grubing?
Well, I've been married for going on 31 years now, and my wife Regina and I, we met at college. I went to Georgetown University in Washington, D.C., and we have eight children and eight grandchildren as well. So that, of course, keeps us busy just with a lot of family life. You know, sometimes you hear about the families, they'll get together for, you know, a big Sunday event, you know, maybe on a holiday or maybe for some kind of family reunion. For us, that kind of happens almost every weekend. So, you know, it's like the kids are coming over with the grandkids, you know, some are running or outside playing, others are playing games inside, and there's always somebody preparing food. So that's a big part of our lives. We really enjoy that, and we enjoy the close connection that we've had and have been able to keep up. Thanks be to God for that. Both of our married daughters live locally, so that's great.
Dr. Boyle, what about you? What do you do in addition to being a seminary professor?
Well, it's funny. We were just talking right before we went on the air live here about a camping trip that we were just on with our sons. We had a nice father-son camping trip. And listening to Dr. Grubing and his eight children and eight grandchildren, one of the little kids that was at this camping trip with us, sitting next to me around the fire, said, "Dr. Boyle, are you a boomer?" And I said, why'd you say that? What do you think a boomer is? And he said, "Well, like a grandpa." And I said, no, I'm not a boomer yet then. But I've got five children, and God willing, we're nearing the point where I can maybe become a boomer like that, which I just thought was hilarious. We find, you know, lots of joy chasing around our kids. We've got now five that are between the ages of 18 and 14. And so we're at that point where our oldest just graduated from high school. She's going to be going off to Concordia, Nebraska next year. And we're looking forward to that, even though not so forward to 11-hour car trips back and forth. But but then it's another one each year with a year off about 3 years in. So we've got a lot of changes coming in. My wife and I, we had the opportunity last summer to be alone, long car ride together, and realizing, you know, in the next 5 years or so, we could go from five to zero in the house. And, you know, major changes in life. A lot of our life does center around the lives of our kids, their sports, their academics, their friends, and the community that's both here at our church and also at the seminary.
Both of you have wonderful families to talk about. I'm curious how both of you, the journey that led to both of you being at the seminary teaching theology, and we'll talk about what you get to teach in just a second, but what brought both of you to the seminary, Dr. Boyle?
Sure. Of course, the Holy Spirit did, and he always works through means. So while I wouldn't have known it was the Holy Spirit at first, I figured that out as it was taught to me at seminary. But I had particular people that were putting the bug in my ear, more or less. One in particular was my wife, her mother. At the point we were dating, my wife and I, but her mother said in college at some point, you should be a pastor. And, you know, that was nowhere on my radar. And so I, of course, start thinking about it. Find out from the seminary recruiter at the time, who was Tom Zimmerman, that I needed to be a Lutheran in order to come to the seminary and be a pastor. So that was step one, is what do I have to do to become a Lutheran? Went through classes, loved it, you know, loved actually studying this stuff, was in all my free time trying to devour whatever theology I could get my hands on, and realized that if I could actually get paid to do what I love doing, which is reading the scriptures, talking about them with others, sharing that life and that wisdom and the joy that I have with others, I mean, what could be better? And so it was really through my wife's mother and a youth leader that had also encouraged in a very similar sort of direction that I started to consider what seminary was, and decided let's do it, all with the support of my wife.
Dr. Grobian, what about you? What's your story?
Well, it's kind of funny. I mean, I was raised in the Missouri Synod, and never, you know, I was never kind of had that perspective of like disliking theology or anything. Like sometimes maybe kids might go through some kind of phase like that. I think, you know, a lot of my classmates were kind of fearful of the catechism exam, confirmation examination, but, you know, I kind of looked forward to it. But I never, but at the same time, even though it was always kind of something that I was always thinking about the faith and even theology, you could say, at a young age, I never was really thinking about becoming a pastor until I was in college and I was involved with our kind of ecumenical Christian fellowship group there, and really seeing the joy that, you know, a Christian community could have together, and then thinking about what that might mean to be part of, you know, a leadership of that sort of group. And, you know, the other side of it, though, is kind of funny. I would always tease my classmates, because I had a number of classmates in undergrad who were talking about going to grad school. And I would say, well, why would you want to go on and do any more school? You know, and, you know, I'm going to get out there and work and live my life. And I did. I had a short stint where I was in the Navy for about 4.5 years. But after that, it was right back to school, to seminary, with the encouragement. I think Dr. Boyle really emphasized this, and I just want to affirm that it's always it's good to hear it from other people, right? We don't call ourselves, we don't put ourselves into the ministry. But when you have other people, pastors, parents, friends of the family encouraging you to go to the seminary and consider the ministry, that's an important part of the conversation. And, you know, I will say sometimes it goes the other way around. Because I was in the Navy, I was stationed in, you know, a place that I hadn't lived before. I was new to that congregation. And so it is true that my pastor he was not the one who initiated it with me, you know, maybe because I was kind of new to the congregation. But I did ask him about it. I said, you know, I've been thinking about going to seminary. What do you think? And as soon as I mentioned it, he was encouraging and did follow up with it quite a bit. So I kind of take that as an indicator that he wasn't just, you know, kind of going along with what I was saying, but was happy to encourage me to do that.
Dr. Boyle, how would you describe your area of expertise?
Well, my training and PhD were all in Old Testament, so my particular area of focus is kind of along the lines of what we would call hermeneutics, or how do we read the Old Testament, and for me in particular, in a Christological sort of way, like how is Jesus in the Old Testament? So that's more my training, which I get to use around here this summer. For instance, I'm going to be teaching Hebrew, so I get to do some of that, some courses in Old Testament, like Pentateuch, and I've been teaching for the SMP program, their prophets class, for a number of years. But on the other hand, you know, having served in the parish for a dozen years, I bring, I think, quite a bit of pastoral experience and some of the joys, some of the challenges, some of the reality that comes from being a senior pastor, a sole pastor, covered both of those, and how to work with others in this, and how to lead the congregations that way. So that's a lot of the experience then translates to what I'm doing in the practical department, where I'm called teaching preaching and teaching and field ed director, these sorts of things.
Dr. Grubing, how would you describe your area of expertise?
Yeah, so my graduate studies were in Christian ethics. We don't have an ethics department at the seminary. I was called into the systematics department, so that's where we teach topics of theology generally. But yeah, my area of kind of research expertise is in ethics. And I really find that to be valuable because, well, of course, what is central is to hear of Christ, to trust in the work that he has done for us. A lot of the great work that Dr. Boyle does in his, in teaching the scriptures and understanding the scriptures. We as a church also are a gathering of people here on earth that have lives that we live here on earth. We are the body of Christ. We have our sins forgiven by Christ. We're called into the church. And we also have things that we do here, whether it's caring for each other in a family, as we've talked about a little bit, but also the confession that we make as Christians to the world, evangelism, also the work that we do in the world, whatever that work might be for various kinds of people, various occupations, and even our engagement with the greater political society. All of these areas of our life, we have a responsibility. We have a task. We have good works that we're called to do as those who have our sins forgiven in Christ and have eternal life. And so that's a lot of what our conversation is about in those ethics courses. And that's really a joy, I think, when, you know, I can talk with future pastors about how they can work with the people in their congregations to really endeavor to love one another, to serve one another, and to be really engaged in this world in so many ways, both through speech, through confessing the faith, but also through just the kind of acts of love that they can demonstrate to others, especially in a world where sin, you know, brings so much brokenness and so much evil and so much sorrow, that the Christian speech and the Christian acts of love can really be a salve and a joy in the midst of this kind of suffering.
We're talking with Dr. Gifford Grobin and Dr. Jeffrey Boyle from Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, for our Set Apart to Serve series. We need to take a quick break. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Eggleseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason: to use your God-given gifts to help others. To live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world. To live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Eggleseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
We're talking with the Reverend Dr. Gifford Grobin, the David P. Scare Professor of Biblical and Systematic Theology, Assistant Provost and Director of the DMIN Program at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, and the Reverend Dr. Jeffrey Boyle, Assistant Professor of Pastoral Ministry and Missions, Director of Field Education, and Director of the SMP Program at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne. And both of you have described your areas that you get to teach in, that you get to really work in with the students at Concordia Seminary. Let's talk a little bit more about how these areas of expertise really help informing future pastors and deaconesses that you get to teach. Dr. Boyle, how do you see your area of expertise, the things that you get to teach, how do you see that working in the formation of future pastors and deaconesses?
Sure. It's in some ways, it's super obvious in that I get to teach the scriptures, right? So to be a pastor, you are constantly in the Word of God. You ought to be constantly in the Word of God, and you should know what it how to read it, what it means, and how to lead others in their own interpretation of the scripture, how to hear it rightly. And that starts with the most basic of actually reading the Bible, and especially in its original languages, to be able to unpack the words and the meaning of the text. So very practical is simply, what do the scriptures say, right? So we spend a lot of time in our Old Testament classes working that way. With the field ed classes, this is actually a class I love to teach because I get all of the first year students every Monday throughout their entire first year. And it's lecturing on topics that are intentionally practical to who they are as pastor. So I will walk them through each of the three quarters, what it means to really the gravity, the weight of being a pastor. That's the first quarter. The second quarter is really what I call the pastoral virtues. And I sum them up in three, somewhat tongue-in-cheek, but really quite seriously. I say, don't be weird, don't be weak, and don't be a jerk. And if they could do those three, they're going to be okay. We fill in around the outsides quite a bit of kind of what that looks like scripturally. But as soon as I say, don't be weird, they laugh. And I say, do you know what I mean? Give me some examples. And someone will raise his hand. I mean, they get it, right? They know they've dealt with weird pastors. We kind of want guys that know how to be personable, how to actually hold a conversation, how to, in that way, lead rightly with the Word of God into the Word of God, and not be a deterrent to the Word of God by their own way of conduct and so forth. So finally, the third quarter with that, we walk through a pastoral theology really loosely, but what is it that the pastor does? So a lot of my own training, my own experience gets to come out in these. They all, in this field ed class, they're always asking questions about things that they're seeing many times for the first time in their field ed congregations that they're assigned to. And it allows us to kind of think through it together. I get to share some of my own experiences on any given question. Very rarely is it a question that's not been thought through or dealt with. And that's kind of the fun thing, is they're seeing these for the first time, and yet we've all gone through this a number of times. And so getting to simply share some of that wisdom. Lastly, I'll say two practical classes that I get to teach are catechetics, which is how to teach, and then homiletics, how to preach. And I teach the fourth year homiletics class, which is largely, it's the guys that have come back from vicarage and frankly are pretty good preachers. Like their content is by and large solid. What they've started to get some experience in is the confidence of how to do this. Many of them will come back from vicarage having preached 20, 30 times, which is pretty remarkable when you think about it as an intern sort of thing. But then we get to fine tune and we get to work with them on particular skills. And I mean, it's a lot of fun to do that because you also get to see how different they are when they come back their fourth year from how we got them their first year. And to see this progress is really remarkable. It shows that something's going really right at the seminary when you actually see already there the shift in these guys. The other one is the teaching, the catechetics class. I focused a lot just in my own personal study and with the raising of my kids on education. And in Wichita, before I left, we were able to get off the ground a classical Lutheran high school, which was really a huge feat. I had planned on my oldest daughter being part of the first class there, and then we got the call to the seminary, and that was not to be. But nonetheless, all of that effort towards what is a school, what is education, what is teaching, pedagogy, that all gets to come out in practice in terms of shaping these guys to teach well. We have this one class that tries to cover all of education. Frankly, we need more. I'm trying to push for how we might get more some way or another. But nonetheless, it's a great opportunity to teach guys how to teach. So that's I find it immensely practical. Everything that I get to do here is towards their formation as being pastors.
Dr. Grobian, what about you? How do you see your area of expertise really in the formation of pastors and deaconesses?
Yeah, I think even tying to what I was saying earlier, just to get a little more concrete in that, if we think of the small catechism table of duties, you know, what do hearers owe their pastors, or, you know, what is the responsibility of pastors, or the passages that talk about husbands and wives and fathers and children. And when we start to, and again, see, we're starting with scripture and the scripture passages, like Dr. Boyle said. And so by starting with scripture and again, just helping pastors get deep and close reads of what does the Bible say about how do we live our lives as faithful, as loving people here in the world. And then it really becomes, you know, the ethics class really, I love it because it's so question driven, right? It's driven by what do the students want to learn about? What do they need to know about? I mean, obviously I have this framework where I'm talking about family, I'm talking about church, I'm talking about larger society and work responsibilities, but then they can bring their questions. And so, you know, from year to year, the questions of interest change quite a bit. For a long time, I think in the 20 teens and even early 2020s, lots of questions about biotechnologies, beginning of life questions, you know, what kinds of, you know, how are we supposed to talk about IVF with our parishioners, right? Or end of life questions, you know, to what extent are we required to, you know, provide certain kinds of life support? And so being able to talk through those things and help pastors recognize that these are questions of wisdom, and there are always many factors that are at play in these things. And so to begin to recognize these things almost in a more categorical sense of what are the kinds of factors that we need to keep in mind. And really at the heart of it, though, comes down to what is a pastor's fundamental duty always? It's to continue to nurture repentance and faith in his people. And so even when we're talking about how do I do this, or how do I, you know, what's the appropriate amount of life support, or what kinds of medication can we take, or whatever that question might be, it's always, okay, what does the scripture say about these things? What are things that we can derive from the scriptures about these things with respect to care for life, not killing, and so forth? But then also, how do we kind of make a decision or talk through this with our parishioners in view of the repentance and faith that we always want to nurture for them? More recently, the questions have had to do with political questions and kind of that larger political, social kind of questions or areas of interest. You know, to what extent should Christians really be engaged in politics? Right? What should we even think about some of these kinds of policies? And helping them then to distinguish between, well, as Christians, you know, again, we have that fundamental pastor's call to serve the repentance and faith of their people. As people who live in a country and who live in a world, right, there's also a kind of duty to the government, to living in society. And sometimes we have to be able to discern how those duties, they never have to clash, right? They never have to be in conflict, but also sifting through the kinds of priorities that we might have in mind, or the kinds of factors that are at play whenever we're kind of making decisions like that. So it's really it's a great opportunity for discussion and really the practice of wisdom in view of what does the Bible say.
Let's talk about student life, student experience. What's one thing, we're running a little short on time here, so what's one thing, Dr. Grobian, one aspect of student life that the student experience at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne that you want every future student, maybe their families, to know, whether it's parents of younger students or a spouse of a future student who's coming to Fort Wayne, you want them to know about an aspect of life at Concordia Theological Seminary?
I think one of the great things about residential seminary education, and in particular, really at Concordia Theological Seminary, which I can talk about because I know it, is that bond that students develop in that in those 4 years that they're there, right? Three years residentially, the year of vicarage, not only with their classmates, but also with the faculty. This is actually something that I enjoy so much about teaching at the seminary, is not just being in the classroom and giving the lecture and, you know, maybe having discussion and Q&A, but it's actually a lot of the learning and a lot of the bonding that develops outside of the classroom, whether it's at the lunch table, whether it's at, you know, other kinds of social events, coffee hour after chapel. And that's where a lot of what gets talked about, maybe a little more formally in the classroom, people can feel a little more comfortable about asking what they think is maybe an odd question, but really gets at the heart of why they're there, to be formed, to learn, and to begin to be strengthened and encouraged by one another, not only with us professors, but also with one another. And so they have that bond going forward, and they have that strength and support, even when they go to that first call, and they might feel like they're all by themselves, but they actually have these brothers that they can call upon.
Dr. Boyle, one aspect of seminary life at Concordia Theological Seminary that you want future students and their families to know?
Yeah, I would say one of the most heartening aspects of the campus life around here is seeing, especially in the fall, and then they come out again in the spring, but it's like a stroller parking lot right outside of the chapel doors, where you've got all these families that come and join their, you know, their husbands studying there. And this is an opportunity for the family to come together with him and to hear the word of God, to hear the preaching that's taking place, to sing the hymns. And we always have little kids crying in chapel, and it's wonderful. I mean, it's really the life of the student, his family, all brought together under the word of God. And then we, like Dr. Grobeen said, we get coffee, we get to chat with them. And as faculty, we get to know their families. And so I really enjoy the connection that we have with the students and their families, and that all of it is ordered towards that life in the chapel.
It's been really great to talk with both of you today about Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. The Reverend Dr. Gifford Grobeen, the David P. Scare Professor of Biblical and Systematic Theology, Assistant Provost, and Director of the DMIN Program at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne. Thanks for being our guest today.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure to be here.
And the Reverend Dr. Jeffrey Boyle, Assistant Professor of Pastoral Ministry and Missions, Director of Field Education, and Director of the SMP Program at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne. Thanks for being our guest today.
Oh, you're welcome. It's always a joy to be with you both.
And you can learn more about Set Apart to Serve at lcms.org/SAS. You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.